You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here for the second hour on Friday afternoon. We're here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We're going to be waiting for a call from Raymond Suarez of the Pima College Sports Information Office in the men's and women's sports. He's the one that gives us all the information that goes on there. So I'm hoping to get a call from him soon. But it was good to talk to Corey. I hadn't talked to him in a bit, and always comes up with those great stories about things that went on back in the mid-90s. Also, I want to give a score update. The baseball team that we talked about earlier last hour, Arizona, they're up 13-0 against Penn State.
Against Penn State?
Yeah. Looks like they've found their groove. In fact, Pancho...
I mean, if they haven't let them score any runs, where did the pitching come from all of a sudden?
Well, remember Pancho called yesterday and he talked about how well they're doing lately, and they are. But the quality of teams they're beating aren't the quality of teams they played earlier this year.
But Steve, they're confidence builders.
Oh, at the end of the year, good for you. Good for you, Tom. Good for you. That'll help for next year.
But they're still on the cusp, apparently, as far as getting into the NCAA.
Who says this?
No?
Who says this?
I thought I saw somebody say that somewhere.
That's where they call it fake news, Tom.
All right, we're not in the fourth quarter yet.
You're not in the fourth quarter. Okay. The fat lady is not singing anytime soon.
All right. Or
she sang a long time ago, and she just didn't sing loud enough.
Okay, so they'll end the season on an up note.
Yes.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. Because they're just a little over 500, and teams that are just a little over 500, no matter how well you played here at the end, probably don't make the tournament. And remember, the quality of team you beat has a lot to do with it. And it comes to me maybe vaguely or whatever, the teams that they've beaten here lately aren't that great. That's just my opinion. But it kind of shows in the
stats.
Nothing
about Penn State, although they have had good football teams in the past.
Yeah, that'll help you with a baseball team. They used to be pretty good. Pancho made that argument yesterday, and I understand what he was saying, and it makes sense. But in mine, they're probably not any good, the teams that they're beating. Because if you had trouble most of the year with certain teams, and now you're beating these teams, well, this probably means that these teams aren't that great. Arizona plays tonight in softball at Hillebrand. I think there are probably still tickets left. I don't want to dissuade you, but I would check into it if you're thinking about going over. Just out of curiosity, you should go out and check it out. I think the weather's going to be... going to be great tonight to watch a good softball game. It might be a quick one.
And the first game is probably just getting started about now, Auburn and Colorado State.
Correct. In fact, I was going through the internet right now, having some technical difficulties, but the Bucks in Milwaukee are beating the Raptors 36-23. I think that you won't have to wait till the fourth quarter to figure this one out.
Okay, Steve, you're the man.
Like yesterday, fourth quarter meant everything, and guess what? The Golden State Warriors pulled it off.
Yeah. Well, they had a little bit of a scare, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. But I said it was going to be closer than the first game. First game was like 18 points, I think it was, but you can kind of tell that was going to happen in the second game. I do think that the Portland Trail Blazers will win either game three or game four to send it to a game five, and then it'll be over in game five at Oakland. So we'll see. I still think that the Warriors will be good enough to win yet another championship. So I think we have him on the phone. Raymond Suarez, how are you?
Good, Steve. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Good. Let me just introduce you to the listener that we have. Raymond Suarez here. He's with the Pima College Sports Information Office. He's the guy that gives us all the information of how well the teams are doing. And you had a great year in terms of doing a lot of busy stuff because a lot of the teams had great success. True?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, every team, just a quick recollection, I think every team made playoffs, except with the exception of baseball. But, I mean, they had a great turnaround season. They had the most wins since 1993. So every team kept me pretty busy this season.
Yeah, no question. From football to now, and the baseball's over, right? I didn't see much on them.
Yes, baseball is over right now. They went 21-31 last season, and this year they went 36-19.
Yeah, so where did they end up? Because I knew that we were following softball, and softball ended, I think, last weekend. How far did the baseball team go?
So baseball, and just to show how tight the race was in the conference this season, it came down to the very last three games, and Pima was in the number two seed. So the top four seeds make the region tournament, and Pima was number two heading into those final three games. Unfortunately, they lost all three games,
and
it knocked them out of the playoffs.
Yeah, see, that's why I didn't hear much about them, because I thought they were in the top tier of those teams, so the last three games did them in. I see that. Because they did have a great year compared to last year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, just in conference, I think in conference they only won 11 games, and this year they doubled that. They won 22.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was a great turnaround.
And then the girls, the women, I should say, turned out to be okay. Top three or four seed in the conference, right?
Yeah, they were the number four seed, and actually they knocked off the number two seed at the region tournament, and so they finished third. So I think it was, I mean, just getting into the region tournament was a surprise, and they did what they needed to do. They beat Mesa. They swept Mesa in a doubleheader to close out the regular season, and that's what got them to the region playoffs.
Now you're busy doing stories or sending releases out to the media about all the signings that are going on. You had a lot this week. Could you kind of refresh my memory?
Well, that even just today, we had three signings. So Abraham Carrasco, who became the Pima career scoring leader with, 1,310 points. He signed to Concordia University Irvine, which is a Division II school. And then this afternoon, Enrique Porches and Rafael Padilla, they committed to Bethune-Cookman, which is a Division I school in Daytona Beach, Florida.
In baseball? Is that what, in baseball?
Yes.
Yeah, in baseball. Yes. And they're historically, Bethune-Cookman is a pretty good team.
Yeah. They've taken some of Pima's players in the past as well. And the guys have gone on to do pretty well for themselves out there.
So how many baseball players have signed now so far?
I believe that makes six.
Six. What about basketball?
Basketball, we have three.
Three. So who are they? Abraham. Who else?
Kennedy Kohler. He signed with University of California, Davis, and Travis Walker, who was a role player off the bench. He signed to Arizona Christian University.
What about the kid that you had on here? He played at South Point, but he played football and then went on to the basketball team.
Robbie Wilson, he hasn't decided just yet.
Okay, so there's still some people that have the jury's still out on where they want to go.
Yeah, definitely.
What about the kid?
And then for women's basketball, Shauna Bribiescas, she signed to University of Hawaii Hilo earlier this week.
And then you had the girl who was all-time scorer, assist, and all that. What's her name again?
JJ Nakai.
Yes.
She signed to the University of Nevada.
Nevada. So that's a big deal right there. That's a great scholarship.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell all of our student athletes, I say, tell me when you're committing to a four-year institution, and tell me when you've signed or about to sign, and we'll set something up for you. You know, I think doing this is just as important as covering games.
Oh yeah.
Because it shows just the talent that Pima's generated and where else they're being sent off to.
There was a kid on the basketball team, I think he was a freshman, a bouncy kid. He could leap like nobody else, and he'd had a lot of alley-oops. I forget his name, too. Is he going out anywhere? I think that he had a chance to leave after his first year.
Yeah, Rashad Smith. I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything about him just yet. I think as of right now, we're expecting him back for his sophomore year. But things change in an instance. That's for sure.
Yeah, no question. How great of a run was it to have the women's team doing so well and the men's team continuing to do so well?
Well, this year was a lot of fun. I mean, the last year I got to travel with the guys. Whenever they had their run and they finished runner up at the national tournament, I mean that was a wild run, a wild final game. And with the women's team this year, I traveled with them, and there was just one quarter that hurt them against the eventual national champion. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to travel with both of those teams.
How long have you been with Pima?
7 years now.
So this must have been the best overall year athletically that you've had to be through or you've gone through with them.
Well, my memory's not that good, but I would say this would probably be one of the best.
Given that the soccer team won a national title, they finished in the top four last year. I can't remember where they finished last year.
Third. Yeah, they finished third last year.
So they win a title. Football team is very good. So just a lot of good things going on in Pima.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah, just finishing up some write-ups this week. We still have a track in Hobbs, New Mexico, and our men's golf team just finished their national tournament in Melbourne, Florida.
How do they pick places to have the national tournament? Because this has been 30, almost 40 years, 35 years ago, I think it was, when I was in high school. We went to the state track in Hobbs, and Hobbs is not like, it's not like Tucson, but they have the national track and field meet there?
Yeah. The outdoor meet is there in Hobbs, New Mexico. The indoor national championship was in Pittsburgh, Kansas. So, and I think what they do is they every couple years they put out a bid for it, to see who hosts or who wants to continue to host. I mean, Danville, Illinois has had the men's Division II national tournament for, I believe, 26 years.
Oh, really? Because they put the bid out.
Yeah. So they always bid and they always win out.
Yeah. So in your time there, maybe in the last year or so, what do you think that have been the best stories? Maybe individually. Well, let's go individually.
Wow, that's a tough question. Just some of the ones I've seen this year. Clara Solano. She's a women's golfer on this year's team, and just to hear her human interest story of what she's been through, her health issues. She was on her 19th birthday last summer. She was in a coma because she had sepsis and pneumonia, and she has kidney problems. And so to see her back on the golf course is pretty amazing after hearing her story.
Wow. Did anybody write a story about that?
Yeah. Javier Morales.
Oh, okay.
With Tucson. Yeah. He wrote her feature.
Maybe I should pay more attention to Javier's stories. He's my partner in that. Or remember what the heck I'm reading. I'm going to give him a raise because of that.
And then Greg Hansen just did a feature on our track and field distance runner, Katie Bruno, kind of talking about her story a little bit. She came from CDO, and she wasn't expecting to compete collegiately. She has 9 siblings, and she just didn't, she doesn't come from an athletic background. So that was an interesting story, too. And he also talked about our track and field coach, Greg Winneborg, who's writing a book about a women's cross-country runner. So I'm sure with all of the accomplishments that Katie's had, she's probably given Greg some good information for his book.
Right, sure.
And, you know, we've had guys like Murphy Gershman on men's basketball, you know, Robbie Wilson, but both of those guys, you know, they're older guys. I think whenever Murphy played here, he was about 24, 25. And so just to hear their stories about after high school, coming to college, not fitting in, not feeling it, and then taking a step back, working a couple years, and then coming back to school and being more focused. I mean, that's, you know, that's what Pima's all about. They're all about opportunity.
Yeah, no question it is. And you probably have some stories in football, too. I would assume, I think I talked to Monaco 3 or 4 months ago, and he talked about a lot of those kids getting scholarships now that the school has disbanded from football, or football has, you know, no longer.
Yeah, definitely. You know, some of those guys are, they're still continuing on the, especially the freshmen, continuing on the JUCO route. You know, unfortunately, a lot of the guys I haven't really heard from very much. I've just kind of seen their Twitter pages and see where they're at, see what they're going to do. So, I just try and keep as close of an eye on Twitter as I can. We have a kid going to Western New Mexico. Derek Hall, you remember him, Palo Verde. Palo Verde kid, yeah, he's going to Western New Mexico.
Wait. Is he the one from a long time ago?
Mm-hmm.
That he went to U of A?
Yes, I believe so.
Oh, really? Yes. How did he end? Oh, tell me his story. I thought he was under Stoops. Is that correct?
I believe so. He came back to Pima this year and was just outstanding.
Did he play?
Mm-hmm.
Where have I been? That story probably has not been written. If I think it's the same Derek Hall.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and see, but I'm pretty sure it's the same Derek Hall from Palo Verde.
Wow. Yeah. And what did he play at Pima?
He was defensive back.
Yeah.
Defensive back, safety. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I didn't know that. And he's going to go to, where's he going? Silver City?
Western New Mexico University.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I did not know that. And in fact, there's a lot of kids from Tucson going to Silver City to play for Western. I'm talking from the high school level, and now Pima. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did not know that he was playing football. If that's the same kid, I could be wrong.
I'm going to have to Google now and see if I can find some stories and send them to you.
We're doing it for you. We're doing it right now. So, you know how Google is. I don't always believe Google, but I get it. Who else is out there?
We had Brandon and Christian Maddox. Their brother went to the University of Colorado last year, and Brandon Maddox, he's a defensive tackle. He's going to Vanderbilt, and Christian Maddox is going to Southern Illinois University. So all three brothers playing in Division I. Great family, great bunch of kids. Justin Holt, he's also going to Western New Mexico University. And then Pat Ryden's son, he was our defensive coordinator. His son, Caleb, who's a quarterback, he's going to Whitworth University. I believe that's, I can't remember if that's Division II, Division III, or NAIA.
Yeah. In fact, I don't think that Hall is the same Hall. I think we're talking about Adam Hall.
Now that you're bringing it up.
Yeah. It's Adam Hall. We got it. I'm thinking, there's no way that could be possible. And so, it's not. See, that's how rumors get spread when the host of a radio show doesn't have a clue what he's talking about, which, of course, could be every day because I don't have a clue what I'm talking about half the time.
Hey, and then you're bringing up some surprise questions to the sports information director who sometimes can't remember what happened yesterday.
No, but you do remember what happened in, like, 1998.
Somewhat, or not.
Hey, Raymond, I appreciate your time. Appreciate coming on the show at the last minute. We'll probably talk to you a little bit more in the summer when it gets really, really dull.
Sounds good, Steve. Always look forward to coming on your show.
Great. Thanks for your help too. You're getting all the guys from Pima and the women. It's been great. I hope I've given them a lot of publicity.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We'll take it. Anything helps.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was Raymond Suarez of Pima College, of the SID, the Sports Information Director. I knew that name sounded familiar, but it wasn't that familiar because Adam Hall was the guy, and I'm thinking, God, that can't be right. Let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Thanks so much. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and let's just go through some scoring updates here. I think Milwaukee is pulling away from the Raptors, 61-38, still with about a minute left in the first half. I think we're watching this game here with Auburn and Colorado State at Hillebrand. Colorado State is winning 3-2 in the bottom of the first. This game could take a while. The Arizona game might not even start till 9 o'clock or whatever, if this takes a while. So Colorado State's winning 3-2 here in the bottom of the first. What else is going on? I think I had some notes here that I want to talk about. Oh, Arizona got a recruit today, right? Football recruit, I think.
I believe a defensive tackle, and that's a good thing. They could use some more of them.
Yes.
Defensive tackles.
If there's one thing that I think that Sumlin's doing is going out and finding some pretty good talent. All over the country. So we'll see how he coaches them, but he is getting some good talent to come in. I guess his name is Kyron Bars. Bars, yes, KYONBARRS. And he's from Murrieta, California. So his teams aren't that good in terms of who he picked Arizona over. Sam Houston State, Florida Atlantic, Portland State, and Toledo. But I guess they see something in him that will help Arizona in the long run. They need big dudes. There's no question about that. And we're about to...
This guy is about 6'3", 285 pounds.
I think that qualifies you as a big dude.
Sounds pretty big, and he could probably put on a little more weight. I'm sure they'll have him in the weight room as soon as they can get him on campus.
Eat a lot of steak?
Yes, sir.
Chase some bears?
That's like right. That. You got it.
I was going to say something. Today, I think today was the first day, or not first day. Today was the 100th day where it's 100 days away from Arizona football, the first game already. 100 days, 3.5 months, is that right? About 93 and a quarter months, some of that?
I'll go with, yeah, that sounds good to me.
Sounds good to you?
Math was never my strong suit.
It wasn't. So they play in late August against Hawaii. That should be a big game because, you know, obviously the late, great Dick Tomey came from there, and you're on the road at Hawaii, so there might be a big tribute for.
I'm imagining so.
Dick Tomey.
They're bound to have some ceremony of some sort, I would think.
Sure, it would be kind of the big thing to do. What was I also going to say? It'll come to me. It's funny how I forget these things. But Tiger did not make the cut. The Warriors still won last night. Thankfully, or good that they did. And
next game is in Portland Saturday?
I think Saturday or Sunday. Saturday or Sunday. I haven't really checked the schedule for that. The Preakness is tomorrow. Baseball, I think the last we checked, I told you, right? 13-0 so far. I think they're still going on right
now. Men's baseball, Wildcats over Penn State?
Yes. I did tell you because you were saying that they had a run here going.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see them finishing up on an up note.
Totally agree.
They've got, let's see, are they playing Penn State again tonight?
That's what they're doing now. They're doing that now.
All right.
So they play tomorrow. It's a 3-game series.
Okay.
So they could win that. I think they've won 9 out of 10 or maybe now 10 out of 11, something like that.
That's a great way to finish up.
Heck yes. I think they end up with Washington State.
It sounds like they've found a little pitching that's nice. No? Yeah.
Well, you could say that. You could assume that.
But you're saying that they're not throwing against top flight batters.
Correct. Well, let me say this: when I'm in the locker room or whenever you do interviews, and people or the guys are saying and the girls say, all we have to do is play our game. You know what that means? It doesn't mean anything. Let me tell you why.
The only ones that know what your game is you guys.
Well, guess what you have to play it against? A team that's trying to prevent you from playing your game. Does that make sense? So you want to...
They want to take you out of your game.
Exactly. And guess it's more than likely that they'll try to do that.
All right.
So if you play your game, okay, more power to you. But it's likely that you won't play your game because the other team is going to try not to. But obviously, if you're good enough, you'll be able to play your game, if that makes any sense.
You know, fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter, yeah. But you understand, it's like a fast team who likes to get up and down the court. But if you play a team that likes to slow the game down...
Well, that's got to be the first thing. Your mantra has to be when the coaching staff is getting together and saying, okay, we don't want to let them play their game. We want to force them into situations that they don't know how to handle or not familiar with.
Make them uncomfortable, correct.
That's right.
Correct. And that's pretty much how you play the game. And you got to make, and that's where you scout. You want to make sure that they don't get into their game plan, do all the things that they usually do. But it's funny with people, we just need to play our, no, you don't. You have to do more than that because the other team doesn't want you to play your game.
Speaking of playing in the game, doesn't look like KD, Kevin Durant, is going to be playing against Portland at all.
You're correct. In fact, that's probably the smart move because they don't really need him. At least don't think they do. It's funny, I saw a graphic last night, and I could be wrong, which of course, if I say that, which means I probably am going to be wrong, that the Warriors are like something like 28-1 with KD not playing and Curry playing and having a great game.
Yeah, and if the other team doesn't have a James Harden or that kind of a big-time player to throw against you.
Right.
Where Kevin Durant would be vital to match up against somebody like that.
Sure. But it's funny because everyone's talking about how much Curry is able to play freer without KD because he absolutely needs to have that freedom to score. And then he has a sidekick, obviously, with Klay Thompson.
Thompson. Yeah, they know each other. They have a feel on the court for where the other guy is going to be and getting the ball to him. Yeah, no, that's a nice tandem.
It still could be a preview of next year if KD does leave to wherever they say he's going to leave to, New York or L.A. or whatever, because the Warriors are still going to be the Warriors. They'll pick up somebody. The funny thing about it is their bench is not that good, supposedly, but their bench is playing more in this series than it did in the last series and contributing very well.
Now, you're picking the Bucks to beat the Raptors.
Yes, in five, probably.
And I'm not that familiar with their roster.
Well, they have probably one of the best players in the world with the Greek Freak. I don't even want to try to...
So it'd be nice to have Kevin Durant back for that series.
Yeah. I think they'll need him, and that's probably what they're doing. They're going to rest him until that series, if, in fact, he can go. But that's what I would do, because if you're not going to need him now, why play him?
Right. No, it doesn't look like they're going to need him against the Trailblazers.
Right. So we'll see what happens. This is the only time I talk about the NBA is that's during the playoffs.
Yeah.
And if the Warriors are in it, because they have, obviously, Steve Kerr, Andre Iguodala.
That's a long season.
NBA is a long season. It's funny, when I covered the NBA back when Barkley played in 93, and then I covered it in 97, 98, when I covered the Bulls when Steve Kerr was on the team, and then again 2001 when Sean Elliott and Steve Kerr were with San Antonio, it went all the way to June. So I finished the UA basketball season, and then I jumped on board with those guys, and I traveled a lot with them. I was never home. The kids were young, and so they probably enjoyed it. and it ended in mid-June. I remember Father's Day was like the last day of many championships.
And it's funny when you think about the whole reason that they came up with a game like basketball in the first place.
Tell me why.
To have a activity that you could do during the cold months.
Oh.
You could play indoors, not have to be outside, and it was an activity that you could be doing indoors where it was nice and warm.
Where did you hear this?
I made it up. No, I can't remember who it was who came up with the game, but it was one of the New England states, as I recover.
Naismith. Naismith?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I always thought that was the reason. He was scratching his head one day, you know, what can we do for these boys? They can't go outside. It's too cold.
I'm not going to disrespect my elder here, but I'll agree with you with a little hesitation.
I'm calling for some help on this.
Okay.
Anybody out there that can either refute what I said or back up what I said or embellish it and give us the whole scoop?
790-2040. I remember doing some things for one of my books when Arizona came up or played basketball here, like in the 1890s. I want to say, and they were not playing indoors. They were playing outdoors, and the basketball court was near Maine, the building Maine. So I don't remember it being an indoor thing at the time. You know, peach baskets and all that stuff. I just don't remember that. But you can Google it. We'll come back with it and see what it says. So let me get some updates here as we kind of roll in. We probably have to take a break here in about a minute or so. But the Bucks are at halftime now, 64-39. And I would say that there's not going to be any fourth quarter heroics from Toronto. Kawhi Leonard has only 11 points and is just kind of probably a non-factor. If you're headed out to the softball game, I'm sure they probably have. That doesn't make sense. It's likely they have tickets left for tonight's game, or maybe not. If you want to do, just go by and check it out. I'm not going to be covering tonight's game. I think we have somebody going tomorrow, either Anthony Jimeno or Javier Morales. It was funny that he did that story, and I didn't know that he did that story of that Pima college girl. So you're doing your homework, right, Tom? Or trying to?
Well, I'm going with Wikipedia since I can't find anything else.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
And according to them, Springfield, Massachusetts, I guess Naismith, the guy that you mentioned, is the one responsible for coming up with the game.
Yes. You're funny.
his name is James Naismith.
Yes.
He's originally from Canada, born in Ontario.
Welcome to the PBS version of the Eye on the Ball show, where Tom will tell us about the history of the basketball.
But at the YMCA in Springfield, Massachusetts, in the winter months, harsh, cold New England winter, they were having problems with the rowdy classes at the YMCA. Couldn't find anything for them to do, so Naismith was instructed to come up with something for the kids to do, to play.
And that was it. Indoors.
An indoor activity, out of the cold, get these rowdy kids under control at the YMCA in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Or just have them sit there and be quiet. You know, that probably would have worked too. Like you try to do now in high school or in junior high.
Come on, boys and girls. It's quiet time.
It's quiet time. Time out time. And you got thunder and lightning.
That's
or
right.
You get thunder and lightning. Let's take a break. We're at the overtime here on the 10:30 dial here at 6:41. We'll be back after the break here on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. I feel like a track star doing this show because we get out of the gates very quickly and have a lot of steam and kind of, you know, doing really well at the first 100, 200, and then the 300 we get a little slow, and then the 400 we're kind of gasping for air as we reach the finish line.
Or a horse running the Belmont.
Yeah. Probably the horse I'll be betting on. Not so much tomorrow, but maybe on the Belmont in 3 weeks. Yes, correct. Correct. Hey, you know what we need to do?
Give away some tickets.
Yes, we still have two tickets for tomorrow's match on the pitch with FC Tucson. If you'd like to get two tickets, give me a buzz at 790-2040. We'll get your email and email you two tickets. The game,
Out to the Keno Sports Complex.
Yes.
Where are they playing? Do we know? Tucson against?
Chattanooga.
Chattanooga.
Yes. Starts at 7:30. Two tickets courtesy of, we have APS Digital Print as the sponsor of the sports or the soccer show. And courtesy of FC Tucson. So if you'd like them, 790-2040, give us a quick call. Get your name on that list. First caller, we'll give them to you. What were we talking about? I can't remember what we were doing.
Talking about how basketball got started, then you wanted to put that to rest.
Yes, please. That's, you know, I'm 100 years old with that story. So actually, we're getting a couple calls now for maybe probably tickets. That's cool. Halftime of the NBA game. As you can see, I'm kind of waiting for the calls to come in. 64-39, Milwaukee over Tucson, over Toronto. Rick, are you on the line?
Yeah, hey, Steve, how you doing?
Fine, Rick. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Hey, I know you're a bit, but go ahead and ask your question.
No, go ahead. You were.
I was going to ask you something real quick. How much do you follow Arizona basketball, men's?
Well, I can remember as a kid seeing them at Bear Down Gym in the late 60s and just before. So that goes back a ways. Don't ask me who was playing. It was just
yeah.
a great place to go see, you know, when you're high school, junior high and high school.
Yeah, let me ask you,
late
yeah. given all the stuff you've heard over the last few months with Sean involved with the trial, even though he was not involved, any criminal trial involving him, are you surprised that he's been able to pull off some great magic with recruits that are coming in next year?
No, actually, I'm not. Sean's always been a great recruiter, the man knows basketball. He knows talent, and I think, everybody keeps talking about this trial, but there's nothing that says, and there's nobody that can say, I gave him money or did this or did that or did anything else. There's a lot of speculation going around, and I think after the NCAA investigation's over and the Board of Regents and everything else, but you look at, he's a hell of a recruiter. And he understands raw talent, and I think if you know, sometimes it's hard when you have so much talent is to cultivate that into a team concept because you have so many individuals.
Right.
And you look, you know, you look back. I remember when Bob Elliott and there was Coneil Norman and Eric Money. That was a hell of a basketball team, and that was way back in the WAC in those days. Of course, I was in the service, so I didn't get home much to see these guys play, but a couple times I did. It was truly a much more team concept. Look what Lute did with all those young men, you know, started in 85, 86, 87, and so on. They weren't all blue-chip players, but they were players that understood and Lute was able to get them all to come together and play as a team. And sometimes when you have so much talent, individual talent, the hardest thing is the team. And you look at what Golden State's doing right now.
Right.
And Steve Kerr, and I tell you, I'm digressing a little bit, but people underestimate the intelligence of that team and individual players and collectively. And Andre Iguodala was probably one of the most underrated basketball talents in the NBA. I mean, he's been around for almost 18 years, but his IQ and his understanding of what it takes as a team, I think he learned that from Lute. And so with Sean recruiting great talent, yeah, I think he's always been good at it.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's going to be able to pull off the ultimate challenge, which is taking all that talent and making them into a team where egos have to get set aside.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this a lot this week where I thought that did them in a couple of years ago when they had that great team with Ayton and Trier and Alkins and some of the others where they just had one ball and they won it all.
Well, not only that, but they were already looking at the NBA draft
status. Yeah, there's no question. They had an agenda.
Yeah, and I remember, I'm dating myself, I'm going back. Sean Elliott was originally drafted by the San Antonio Spurs, as you know. And I happened to be on January 2nd, 90. It was his rookie year.
Yeah.
And we had the scalp tickets, my cousin and I, and we got to sit real close to the bench. And I remember Sean playing against Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wow.
Yeah, Barkley was in Philly. Barkley was in Philly at the time. Yeah.
He was at 76ers back then.
Yeah.
But you could tell the difference between a guy like Barkley who had been around for a couple, 3 years versus a rookie. And you watch how Sean evolved into that particular role.
Right.
But look at the coaching that came with Popovich. Look at the coaching that came with Phil Jackson. And look at the coaching Steve Kerr has done.
Right.
I mean, people underestimate. You've got all that talent. The hardest thing is like having the 27 Yankees, you know.
Yeah.
You've got to make sure that talent all plays as a team.
Right, right. Well, so. Rick, thanks for calling in. We got another call. Well, thanks.
All right, buddy.
Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Let's go to Matt now, if we can, Tom. Tom, I guess Tom's not paying attention to me, which, of course, makes it like a normal day here at the farm on the radio. But we've got a call coming in. Hey, here we go.
You there?
Tom, Matt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thanks for calling in.
So this is kind of what I was related to what I was calling in for. I mean, I saw there was an article somewhere online about Kobe and another player, Alonzo, kind of insinuating that coach was using him out of position or whatever.
And, yes.
But it does get back to what Rick was saying. I mean, you got to accept a role and embrace it and do what's best. I think Sean's best teams is where people kind of stepped into other roles willingly or maybe not willingly, but did it and they saw results from it.
No question. We talked about that, I think 2 days ago when the tweet came out. Fran Fraschilla had a tweet, and then Kobe and Trier kind of took a hit to, at least that's what the assumption was, took
agreed,
a hit at Miller, saying that they used him incorrectly. Well, how did that happen? Trier carried the ball 65% of the time, if I could be wrong. But
really? I mean, hey, Alonzo and Kobe, who were you talking to during the whole season other than Coach Miller that was involved in steering your career?
Yeah, that didn't make any sense to me because he was out of position. He was the shooting guard. He was asked to do a lot. Maybe I missed something, but, you know, that was totally not out of character, but just kind of strange because out of left field. Kobe, I can understand because he was an understudy to Trier, and when Trier was out, Kobe was very good in that fill-in role, and when Trier came back, Kobe had to take a back seat. I get that from Kobe. I don't get that from Trier.
Yeah, well, the thought is work harder in practice, and maybe you're going to, you know, get some more minutes.
Well, and who had more minutes than Trier? I mean, honestly, who benefited most because he had the ball in his hands most of the time?
Yeah, really. It's like, and who carried your water through this PED thing?
No, exactly.
Good grief.
Yeah.
But the other thing I wanted to call about, and I mean, I realize Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, and probably two generations, but they weren't one and dones, but what's the difference between their early departures and what we're seeing today? Because what we're seeing today, in my mind, is ruining the game.
Oh, no question. No question. Schools, the funny thing about it is there's the attendance at U of A has been strong up until this year. The team was not that good. But, you know, a fan base goes to cheer on the school, not so much the players. If you happen to have good players, that they're just the benefactors of it. But I totally agree with you. The game itself, even at the NBA level, is getting ruined or watered down because you don't have the quality of player. Even if you're 19 or 20, playing only 1 year in college, that you could have 2 or 3 years more experience. No question.
Yeah. I mean, so with the Magic and Bird, they left after their second year, right?
Yes, 79.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Those guys were exceptions to the rule. Those guys were fantastic.
Right. I mean, right. Truly once in a lifetime talent. Yes.
Yes. Yes. No question. Look how great DeAndre was, and he played well. He was one of the best players to ever come through here. I don't know. I don't want to say he was one of the best ones because he only played 1 year. We don't know, you know,
right.
Compare him to Sean, who played 4. But and then how did it go at the next level? He's a finalist for the NBA Rookie of the Year, but don't you wish you would have seen him 2 or 3 more years?
Oh my goodness, what, you know, it would have been a lot different.
Markkanen. In fact, this might be
I would have liked to have seen Markkanen in the last 11 minutes of that game against Xavier. Forget another year. I mean,
we talked about that.
Minutes.
We talked about that yesterday, the day before, exactly for the Trier thing. He says, how could Trier talk about that? He handled the ball, and Markkanen didn't see it for the last 11 minutes.
Right.
But you know what? And this may be a stupid statement by me, which, of course, is par for the course for me.
That never happened.
Yeah, par for the course for me. I really liked Markkanen, and I love the way he played. He can go inside and outside, and he had a great shot from the perimeter. if given the choice, and this is another stupid statement I might say, I could maybe possibly make a case for me picking Markkanen over Ayton. I could be wrong, and it's arguable. I get it. And Ayton was one of those guys that you see every 25 years or whatever, but Markkanen was fantastic too.
Here's my take on Ayton. Every game you would go to, you'd see poster dunks, you'd see a highlight reel play every game, and that was great. And it translated into Zippo. So for the Suns, of course, they got other issues. And then here at the U of A, they got a Pac-12 tournament win. That's great. But in terms of, you know, really moving the needle on the program, yeah, it was exciting that the place lights up and everybody cheers, and it's fun to watch. But in terms of an NCAA tournament run, it was meaningless.
Yeah, no question. In fact, I got some grief last year when I wrote the final column out of Boise saying that it was a disappointing season. The team didn't materialize like we thought it would. It was disappointing. And I got some people saying it wasn't disappointing. They had a good year. They won the Pac-12 tournament. I think they won the Pac-12 league, I think. And how could I write that? Because they lost in the first round. I don't know if you want to agree with me, but I'll stand by that.
That team went down in the Bermuda Triangle and it never came back.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
So what time does Rito open up for the Preakness?
I think 9:00. It has other races from all over the country, but it opens up. I think wagering starts about then too.
Okay,
you might see you there.
You buying popcorn for Eye on the Ball listeners?
Oh, that one person? Sure. Are you going? I will have a table there if you want to say hello, if you want to come and see me.
Go. You'll be signing photographs.
Yes, those photographs will diminish in value once I sign it. Thanks.
Well, have a great weekend, Steve.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks again
Maybe
for calling.
Maybe we'll see you at the track.
Yeah, thank you. That'd be great. Talk
okay,
to you later.
Sir.
Sure. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That was Matt Neely. That's very funny. Hey, good show today. Maybe, maybe not. Last 20 minutes were kind of faltering at the end. But good week here. Thanks a bunch for everybody to listen here at 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.